This is Father Bernard Martin. Hello, listeners and fellow F1 fans. We have gathered here today at the Palacio Fab Funeral Home to celebrate the brief, nevertheless joyous life of our friends, US F1. You raise the hopes and aspirations of us all across the land. In Speed TV, you had your own in-house band. On the left coast, you promised Alexander Rossi. I'm going to Bernie Land, salivated Summerton in Kissy Me. The Skunk Works produced U2, but you have YouTubed. With Jose Maria Lopez, you even expanded the union. Now we give you the Holy Communion. The Ken Anderson and Peter Windsor dream is kaput. The Simtex and arrows await your grand arrival in heaven. You remember them from Moneytron to Mild 7. Thanks for the memories, the promises, and the hoopla. We will move on with what's left of the Godiva. Amen.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Steven, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 410, February 25th, 2010. Steven?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by Marin Karting. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. Check them out at www.marincarting.com.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, US F1 gets a visit from Charlie Whiting. Ferrari blasting Max and his small team's concepts, and a happy Alonso is a fast Alonso, according to Jenson Button. Of course, we'll have an outstanding Motorsports Mondial with all the laughs and giggling about USF1 and how serious this is bringing down the F1 atmosphere here in the United States. Steve, welcome to the program. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. How about yourself?
Not too bad. It gets sillier and sillier as I exchange emails with Nasser Hamid, of course, the king, who himself is having a holy war in motorsports. we'll probably talk a little bit more about USF1 in the Motorsports Mondial segment, but sure enough, the FIA sent Charlie Whiting to what they call the ailing USF1 operation.
Ailing. I think it's already pretty much
dead.
DOA. The fact that they finally came out and said that they were going to try to bow out of the first four races of the season. Why did you guys even start? If you're not going to get to the grid on opening day, why even start?
Not only that, but if you have any thought of getting decent sponsors, those sponsors expect you to be there on opening day. That's what they're paying for.
Exactly.
And to ask for a four-race delay is just ludicrous.
Yeah, I think the FIA should just pull their, their accreditation or whatever it's called now and give it to Stefan GP. At least Stefan GP is ready to get on the grid. USF1, they're going to go four more races, and I still don't think they're going to get to the grid.
I don't think they're going to make it anywhere. I don't think they're going to make it to that track in Alabama.
The way they're going,
Yes, Charlie Whiting is visiting the USF1 headquarters to get an update on its progress for 2010. And basically, that's because the FIA granted these people the license, the grid slot, and some of that was, I think, Max's crapo.
Yeah, well, obviously they didn't look very closely at any financial stuff that they ran across their desk, because obviously the USF1 didn't have any financial backing other than the bank accounts of the two principals.
I absolutely agree. Not only that, but now there's at least a certain amount of employees that aren't getting paid, and I think the FIA are going to look silly for granting USF1 a slot on the grid when there are teams out there that don't have a slot that actually have cars.
Yeah, exactly.
But they don't have tires. Speaking of Stefan GP, apparently they had to cancel their testing in Portugal because they couldn't get tires. Apparently Bridgestone can't supply tires to just anybody. And if you're not fighting for the world championship in 2010...
Stefan should have just called USF1. USF1 could use the money by selling their Bridgestones to him.
Yeah, I don't even know if USF1 got any Bridgestones.
Probably haven't.
They have one, and that's the coffee table.
Yeah, well, they probably have four just to roll the chassis, or if they have
one. What chassis?
Exactly.
You're going way out on a limb now. That's pretty positive attitude there, Steve. A chassis? All I saw was a nose and a picture of Jim Clark. A nose and a picture of Jim Clark. That's all I got. That's all I saw. Apparently, the financial problems don't end. Swiss investment Lockstein AG has decided to withdraw backing from the ailing USF1 operation, which doesn't surprise me. If you're not on the grid, why would you pay for sponsorship? So these guys have pulled out. Apparently... there's some talk.
You mean USF1 actually had a sponsor?
They did, yeah. Some guy from Swiss Investment Group, which was a good sponsor. But, you know, if you can't make it
obviously,
to the grid,
obviously not enough of a sponsor for them to get a car to the grid.
Well, you know, the sponsors only divvy out so much money at a time. But anyway, there's also rumors now that it's gotten completely out of control. And hopefully the King of Karachi will be able to sort this out for us in the middle part of the program. But apparently now I've even read that there's a merger concept coming with USF1 and Compost will merge as two flip-flops and become a flip-flop-flop. I don't know, but...
Well, I thought Compost had already kind of got themselves out of the hole with the sale of 60% of the team to whomever it was with,
you know what, these
the money bags.
These two teams are willing to say anything. And I won't see any of them on the grid, trust me. I'm just hoping Stefan GP shows up because at least, you know, that they look pretty cool.
Well, at least Lotus and Virgin have managed to get to the grid.
And Lotus is doing a fine job, and we've got a great email on Lotus and how they look and their paint scheme. I can't wait to read that email. Very good stuff.
That's not one relating to tractors.
Anyway, Ferrari just totally just went out on and just, you know, the horse whisperer. That was beautiful.
Kind of like the Red Bull's old sheet that they had running when we were at Indy last time.
You mean the bulletin?
The bulletin.
Well, no, but this was serious. I think Ferrari's right. You know, it's sad to say it, but these new small teams can hardly carry themselves up. They're GP3 grade. And again, 50% of the new teams so far will not make the grid, which is a sad state of affairs. I think Max made some mistakes, though his intentions were good.
Well, I think Max wanted to go back to the good old days. And you can't do it like you did when Max was running a team. You can't just get, you know, 10 guys in a garage and build a car. You just can't do it anymore. The technology is far too advanced for that to happen. If you want small teams, dude, go watch GP2. You know, that's more of what Formula One was back in the 70s and 80s, where they were smaller teams, a little bit more tight-knit group. But you can't build a car anymore without lots of cash, especially when you have to build it from scratch.
We have some small teams. I mean, Williams from the heyday is still here. But they've done a good job. They have good sponsorship. They're well managed, and that's what it takes.
And they have, well, I think the thing for Williams too is that they've got the foundation in place and have had it there well nigh 20 plus years. So for them, being small and staying alive is just a matter of making sure they have enough sponsorship to carry on. Trying to start a team like Williams from scratch, like these other four teams are, is no easy deal. You couldn't do it with the money that Williams is getting because you need that upfront capital to build your infrastructure.
Exactly. And that's why I think it was a nice dream, but the dream, you know, of going to the late 60s and 70s with the smaller teams was just a dream. It's not going to happen because that's just today. It just can't work today. And like you said, I think you're right. GP2 is, or even GP3 or F2 or Formula 3, those are great smaller. If you want to be a small team and partake in a great sport, those are the way to do it. But I think F1 is still the pinnacle. It's at the top. And when you're at the top, you've got to have a big wallet.
Yeah, you've got to have a Dietrich mattress type wallet.
Exactly. Or even Vijay Mallya.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and speaking of
Deep pockets.
Speaking of Force India, James Key, who had been at Force India since the Jordan days and worked his way up the corporate ladder, has moved on and has taken over Ramp's job over at Sauber, which I think is really, really great.
Cool.
Willie Ramp is going to retire, and this is good news. It's going to be a bit of a, you know, they're going through a lot of changes at Sauber. They seem to have a fairly competitive car, according to what I've seen in testing.
Yeah, the times they've been putting up have been very, you know, they've not been like lagging behind, that's for sure.
Absolutely, and they have got great facilities in Hinwil, especially with the amount of money that BMW had poured in there in the last 4 or 5 years.
Instant infrastructure.
Infrastructure is what we need, huh, Steven?
That's why Stefan GP's got a car on the grid, because they bought instant infrastructure.
And it's too bad USF1 didn't buy those Toyotas. I mean, they sell more Toyotas in America than anywhere else in the world. It would have been perfect. Practically American.
Would have been really good for Toyota's press right now.
It would have. And you know, when I think about that, maybe, do you think Toyota knew that something was going to happen in the future?
That the hair was coming down?
And they better get out of this sport, because that was going to... They were going to be busy.
They're going to need that $500 million to cover court costs?
Which is, you know, and I think it's... And
repairs?
I'm sure this is all going to blow over in time. Toyota's still a great car company. But still pretty bizarre stuff when you think about it. They pulled out in the nick of time, but I start thinking about it, you know, there's no such thing as a coincidence at that level of...
No, especially when we were relatively certain that Toyota was going to carry on, that, you know, there really wasn't a lot of talk of them pulling. You know, there was more talk about Renault pulling out than there was Toyota.
That's true.
And then Toyota walks into the last race and goes, hey, well, that's the last one.
You know, and I'm glad Renault's still there, even though there was a big buyout and investment. But still, I think there's a free dinner for me somewhere in there. Wasn't there?
Would think.
Yeah, right. You'd think, huh? Anyway,
let's
good
go back
news.
And look at the terms of the agreement and contract.
That's true. That's my mistake. Just like Peter Windsor, I didn't read the fine print on that deal. But anyway, that's okay. Good news for the Australian Grand Prix. And this is what you need, a title sponsor. Yeah. This is what USF1 needed at the beginning when they were in that speed TV.
It's what the United States Grand Prix needed.
And that's why they couldn't get it back. SAP was a title sponsor for a little while for the US Grand Prix. But this is good news for the Australian Grand Prix. Qantas is back.
Oh, good for them.
Yes, and Qantas is a very respected company all over the world. And as soon as you see the Qantas symbol, you know it's a great quality airlines, great company. And I think even John Travolta is an honorary Qantas pilot for on the weekends or something. So good news for the Australian Grand Prix. And before we go to break, my favorite quote of the day. It's the best. It is Jenson Button, of course. I mentioned it in the opening headlines of the show. But Jenson Button says, and he's worried. He's sort of worried about Ferrari, because he said a happy Alonso is a fast Alonso. I just thought that was hilarious.
Well, that and the fact that the car that Alonso is driving right now looks to be... if not the top of the class, pretty darn close.
It's going to be pretty good. I think McLaren is going to be good too. But if I was Jenson Button, I'd be looking over to my teammate and see how happy he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the first person you need to worry about, obviously, is the bloke next door.
Teammates, got to worry about your teammate first, because if you're not beating him, you ain't beating nobody.
Yeah, and unfortunately, his teammate's Lewis Hamilton. Wow, well, Jenson Button.
He made that bed, he gets to sleep in it.
Yeah, exactly. I would get some itching powder and throw it into Lewis's bed, just for laughs.
Tiny bits in the race suit.
There's going to be some, I guarantee there's going to be some white powder somewhere in the car this year. There's got to be. I know there's going to be some excitement because, I mean, with Schumacher and Fernando at Ferrari, something's going to happen at McLaren that's going to be exciting. And we won't be able to blame Ron Dennis on it.
No, we won't. That's.
And you'll see what's going to happen. Martin Whitmarsh is going to freak out. Ron Dennis is going to have to come back.
Martin Whitmarsh could slip away to spend a couple of weeks at the asylum or something.
Yep. I had my palm read the other day, and that's what they came up with. So it's going to be fascinating. Oh. I cannot wait. And there's just so much to talk about. They're testing again in Barcelona this weekend, all the way into Sunday. They have cut church out this weekend for testing.
I'm sure they'll have a little service before they start on Sunday.
Of course. But it's going to be pretty good. This is the final test. And Fernando was saying this final test will sort of be a barometer of what's going to be happening in the first four or five races.
We'll see. One never knows how well testing is going to translate.
That's true. Mercedes in the top five, still not as competitive as I expected. Red Bull, fast, but you know, and I know you talk about how the Adrian Newey designs today aren't as fragile as they used to be. I hope that's true.
Yeah, I hope I haven't cursed them by saying that, because it seems that it's been kind of been coming back.
Well, I just threw some kosher salt over my shoulder. But still, I don't know. I've got a bad feeling about Adrian Newey maybe pushing
his envelope a little bit too far.
It happens occasionally.
Yeah. Well, knowing Red Bull, they'll rein it back enough to get that car working consistently. Hopefully, Sebastian Vettel won't manage to run through his engine allotment, you know, with only six races left.
That's true. And you know what else I'm going to predict is at Toro Rosso, you have Jaime Alguersuari and, of course,
Sebastian Buemi.
I guarantee that's going to be a pretty good car, and one of those drivers won't finish the season, which is a tradition at Toro Rosso. They got to get rid of somebody.
Not necessarily true, because they've, you know, they went that whole first season, they didn't ax either of the drivers.
Yeah, but then they went chop-chop.
Yep, got rid of them both before the end of the year.
And then asked Sebastian Bourdais.
Yep. Well, so, Sebastian got a season and a quarter.
Yeah, it's better than nothing, I agree. But we'll see what happens there. So anyway, let's take a quick break, because I've been able to scan over the Motorsports Mondial, and it's exciting. It's full of activities and fun for all the listeners. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the man who has pronounced jihad to motorsports, Nasser Hamid.
Doctor Shane, darling Doctor Shane, thank you for all the joy and pain.
Greetings and litigation regards from Jacoby and Myers. Today we have a case of bad apple in Vegas, more apple juice on USF1, Australian V8 from Middle East, and we will introduce you to Big E's latest squeeze. How are you, Mr. Rogers?
I'm outstanding. Big E's, huh?
Oh, yeah. And Mr. The Open Mic?
Wonderful.
Oh, that's good. And we're going to do what Forrest Sawyer used to do on TV, open the justice files. We see the case of Wayne Newton being sued by Bruton Smith, man who owns Charlotte Motor Speedway and Sonic car dealerships all across the United States. It is reported Bruton Smith gave a personal guarantee to Bank of America, the new proud owners of Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner and Smith, on a $3.75 million loan to Wayne Newton. Wow.
Why would you do that?
Interest rate must have been pretty high. Loan was supposed to be secured against Newton's 38-acre ranch, if you are Richard Quest of CNN, and by a private jet valued at over $2 million. And this thing is going to get hijacked now. The loan is past due since May 2009. Let's hope this does not come to Bruton Smith singing, I recall Central Park in fall, how you tore your dress, what a mess. What say you, Judge Wapner?
Unbelievable. I mean, this guy is one of the most successful artists who live in, I mean, he's lived in Las Vegas for years. Wayne Newton, I can't believe he needs a loan.
And what are you going to do? What do you need a loan for $3.75 million? I could see if you were buying property or something, but an unsecured loan
really
for
bizarre.
That kind of money?
That's interesting. But I'm glad we're not only getting motorsports news, but we're getting Vegas news intertwined with Wayne Newton's personal affairs.
This is great. B of A's going to own Charlotte Motor Speedway, it sounds like.
It sounds like it. Oh, well. Can't win them all.
Yeah. But we're diversified.
But I don't think USF1 is going to be testing there.
Where? are they entering a drag race? Because they have a twin-lane drag strip also now. Or four-lane, I should say.
Well, that way, it's an easier chassis to build. You know, you don't have this.
Talking of US1, you know, what can I say? And I want to tell you something, a little background to this. May I, with your express written consent?
Background, please, sir.
Yeah. Okay, this deal was announced on Speed TV, which is pretty much their advertising agency, in February of 2009. I'm not making this up. A few months before that, in late 2008, I, out of the blue, received a phone call from a gentleman who's involved in motor racing, and I could not believe what he asked me. He said, do you follow motor racing during off-season? I said, of course. I mean, there's so much information that comes out. He says, oh, great, because keep your ears open. Something coming up big. And I really, really thought it was going to be something regarding this person or people we were talking about in the group in Europe, in a feeder series to Formula One. Maximum GP2, minimum British F3. Never ever I thought it would be something related to Formula One. 3 days later, this US F1 news leaks out. So I called him back. I said, hey, was this regarding this? He says, yeah. So I said, are you involved in this? And he gave me some information. It was like it was not yes, it was not no. And I've stayed in touch with this gentleman and a lot of information has come through. And obviously a lot more is going on than what you see in the web, okay? Also in late 2008, I was referred to meet somebody who was looking for some racing information, very junior formulae in UK and Europe and here. We sat down and in 5 minutes of the conversation, the gentleman says to me, well, it sounds like you know what you're talking about, so I'm going to let you in on some information as long as you keep it, you know, under the wraps. So I said, what do you have? Boy, did he surprise the living hell out of me. He was giving me dates and times and meetings of all that was going on with USF1 prior to the announcement and prior to the all the things that later came out. And of course, you know, right now I'm trying to get as much scoop as I can. So it's very sad. You know, what really bothers me, it's not the USF1, but it's Ken Anderson starting this whole thing, oh, most of the technology comes from the United States in Formula One. And somebody responded to that on the web that, you know what, before you look at Formula One, look at IndyCar racing. Cars are from Italy, tires are from Japan, transmission is from England. So this guy was just talking. And when he made that statement that there are many American drivers racing in Europe with success, I knew this guy was bullshitting. Okay? And then Peter Windsor, for whom I have a lot of respect because he's been motor racing journalist for a long time. I read and respect his work a lot. He's on that press conference on Speed TV saying, we have all the money. And then later he was quoted as saying that we've had up to like a big portion of, I don't remember the exact percentage, but big portion of our budget was offered to us by non-American drivers, and Ken and I had to look each other in the eyes and, you know, stick true to our mantra of American drivers only. Then they are bringing American drivers from South America. No, I mean, I don't have anything against guys from Argentina or Armenia, but, you know, part is, don't bullshit. And as much as they know and have been involved in the motor racing, they knew from day one whether they can do this or not and what they had. Because, you know, it was only a few years ago you were required to put a $40 million bond.
That's true.
Before you would even get a franchise. And it's just, it's, you know, it's American racing fans have been taken for a ride by these two people, by bullshitting. And that's where I have a problem. And, you know, there is so much news now that USF1 will merge with Campos, with Serbian team. I don't know what's going on. And like I said last week, I'll believe the grid when I see it. But I'm very hopeful that somehow the USF1 name is preserved. And, you know, trying to make an attempt is always much better than no attempt. Okay? But, you know, it has to be an honest effort that failed for whatever reasons, circumstances beyond their control or things change. You know, financial market, everybody knows they cannot get a sponsor. Nobody can get a sponsor. But to tell that, you know, we're turning people away because we're going to have American drivers, not appreciated at all. So I'm hoping that somehow this USF1 franchise will survive and somebody serious will take over. I mean, what this program needs is the Carl Haas, Roger Penske caliber of people. You know, people who will deliver and then say, ask me questions, not show up and just, and those two visits that Speed TV made to this team. You know what is even amazing? That this gentleman, who is a very senior officer, Nick Craw of FIA, a few months ago when the news first came out, he was interviewed on Speed TV, and he says, I have visited the facilities. There is no doubt in my mind that they will be on the grid. What did these people, from what I know, and I cannot verify this, I was told a few months ago, late last year, that they don't have an engine. What Cosworth sent them was like a dummy engine so they can balance the car. So, you know, if Chad Hurley is pissed off because his $20 million has been pissed away, who can blame him?
I concur.
So, let's see what happens. Okay, now we're going to move from Formula 1 to Formula 2 drivers. Announcements are being made. You know, I'm having some problem work-related now because there is so much driver signing, news coming. I'm spending a lot of time late night on the web trying to get some information. I need to get to work on time.
That's why you make the big salary here. Oh, yeah. Weekly.
Oh, yeah, that really helps. Okay, Formula 2 drivers are being announced daily. First to be confirmed for his second season in the series was Arman Ibrahim of India, almost a homie. He also raced for his country's team in A1 GP competition. Nice kid. I met him at the very first A1 GP race at Brands Hatch in September 2005. And his dad is heavily involved in Indian motorsports. And so is Vicky Chanduk, who is Karun Chanduk's dad. I mean, both are mucky mucks of Indian motorsports. Benjamin Bailey of Belgium has also been confirmed, and he was a pretty well-known, successful karting driver. From F2, we go to GP3, and I'm really interested in this new series, Bernie and Briatore supported operation. Mickey Monraz, Muy Poquito Hombre de España, has joined Mark Webber and Christian Horner's GP3 team called MW Arden. All 10 teams have received 3 cars each, and testing begins next month. The new GP3 website, I am told. I'm very surprised they still don't have a website for GP3.
Well, at least they got the cars, the important part.
Oh, so you have a choice. You can have a website, or you can have cars?
Well, some teams chose the website first, but...
Yeah. And also in some other news, interesting, you know, when I was at Hockenheim last year, I interviewed this, your homeboy, Jean-Claude Vernet. He's from Lyon. Mm. And they asked him, he had won one of the races. They asked him, are you planning to go to Formula One? He says, no, Formula One is very political. And he was supported by Volkswagen, so he said, I'm looking at DTM with Audi, part of Volkswagen Empire. And now he has joined, I believe, Sam Schmidt's motorsports team in IRL. So it'll be good to see a good competitive Francais going in circles.
Absolutely.
And also going in circles is this kid from Colombia. He's from Colombia. He's quick like Montoya and has the same, I would say, chip on the shoulder like Montoya attitude. Sebastian Saavedra, but he's quick. And he's going to be taking part in the, I believe it's the Indy Lights, and he will do with the Brian Herder team, the Indy 500 also. And Miss Senora Ana Beatriz from Brazil, she will take part in the Indy Car season opener, which is on the streets of Sao Paulo. Now we come to times of testing. F1 testing in Jerez is over and now happening in Barcelona soon. Button had the fastest time, and Nando is saying car from Maranello is the best a man can get, raising sharply the memories of a car he drove in 2007. Back then, the silver lining was very cloudy. Pundits are saying pecking order will be between Ferrari, McLaren, and Red Bull. Man in machine number 3 may have some say come race day in Bahrain. What say you, sir? What do you think will be the pecking order in Bahrain?
Well, you know, it looks like the Ferrari is probably going to be the best car on the grid. And then I think it's going to be between Red Bull, McLaren, and Mercedes. Schumacher will push Mercedes up quite
hard. Oh, yeah. He's not going to quit. I mean, we all know that. Okay, then we come to Alex Zanardi. He has parted company with BMW Motorsport and will not be driving the Ultimate Driving Machine in World Touring Car Championship. Speaking of which, the 2010 entry list has been announced by the FIA. Seat from Spain and Lada from Russia have withdrawn official support, but BMW and Chevrolet are committed to the Tin Top Series. Some of the drivers in action this year, Thiago Montero, Andy Priol, and Gabriel Tarquini. The field will also include a driver from Morocco, Mehdi Benani. The series now also visits Morocco for a street race in Marrakesh. And the street race in Marrakesh, the design of the track is like the Avos track in Germany. It doesn't have the banking, but goes straight, U-turn, a little bit turn. But at least they have a race, which is good. You know, it'll be interesting to see somebody like Robbie Gordon in World Touring Car. I mean, he came from Trans Am. The guy was incredible. Australian V8 from Abu Dhabi, the Yas V8 400. Race 1, victory went to series champion Jamie Whincup and his Holden. Second one was his Vodafone teammate Craig Lowndes. More of the same in Race 2 as Whincup wins again over Mark Winterbottom, also known as Frosty. Now we come to business of motor racing. Do you like the business of motor racing, sir?
It's not as exciting as motor racing, but it's still necessary.
Very true. IMG, International Management Group, people who wrote the book on sports marketing, say, hello, Danica, goodbye, Jeff Gordon. The GoDaddy girl is now represented by the Ohio-based company. IMG made its name in representing Arnold Palmer and Jackie Stewart. Jeff Gordon, the Rainbow Warrior from Northern California. You know, he grew up in Vallejo.
Yeah, I knew that. He doesn't sound like it, but he did.
Yeah. Has moved from IMG to Just Marketing International, which is based in Indiana, and is headed by founder Zach Brown, who, in his glory days, used to race in Europe. He still races in Ferrari Challenge and sports car racing. And I believe he's entering one of the Audi R8s in the what is called the new FIA GT series. Just Marketing International has become a major force in motorsports business. Clientele includes UPS, Subway, LG, and Verizon. And I'm also told, you know, you see a lot of Apex Brazil ads on TV during IndyCar races. Mm-hmm. He's also representing them. So life is good. NASCAR, your favorite racing series from SoCal. Nationwide race was won by Kyle Busch in his Camry. Danica had a dismal day, went down a lap after only 18 laps, but did bring the car home, which is always good. Finishing, I think she was like 31st or 32nd.
What kind of car was she driving?
I think it's a Chevy, because her teammate is Mark Martin.
Yeah. You know all those gas pedals that they're taking out of the Toyotas?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard that Chevrolet is buying those and using them in NASCAR.
No wonder they've been so successful lately. Yeah, good for them.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, sir. Yes, I was waiting for that. The Cup race, win number 48 for car number 48. Jimmy Johnson from El Cajon in Southern Cali holds off Kevin Harvick of Oil and Onion Town, that is Bakersfield in Central Cali. Jeff Burton was third. The race took place at Fontana Speedway, which was built by Roger Penske and later sold to the Franz family. It's located in close to a Kaiser steel mill or a cement plant, kind of an industrial area, but the facility itself, you can tell Roger Penske was here. Very, very nice.
Quality.
Oh, yeah. Actually, some years ago, I had a couple of my Brazilian ex-co-workers, you know, we went to that race. It was rained out, I mean, after a few laps. And I remember the first thing both of them said to me, I said, this is a nice, nice facility. Very nice.
But it's still roundy round.
Yeah, but it's still good. Okay. You know, this really got my attention, and I almost called you late night. Karting update. I did not know, Johnny, in Vegas they have a kart race called Machismo 500, and I really went to their website to verify this. Were you the Grand Marshal there, Mr.
Exactly.
Rogers?
Exactly, F1 Weekly.
Proud sponsor?
Yeah.
It's the F1 Weekly Machismo.
US F1 Weekly, it's just F1 Weekly.
Yeah, I think we should try to sponsor that F1 Weekly's Machismo 500.
Yeah, that would be great, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe we get Nando.
Exactly. But I wonder if the support race is called Papito 250.
We'll get David to show up for that one.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now let's take a look at what's happening this weekend. GP2 Asia will be in action featuring young American Alexander Rossi, another American from Boston, Jake Rosenzweig, whom I interviewed last October at Hockenheim Ring, will also be racing in this event with Supernova. Returning to the series is fast but erratic and one-time Red Bull driver from South Africa, Adrian Zoll. This guy, you know, he basically, like the kid from New Zealand, very talented, very promising, very quick, that is Brendan Hartley, but somehow he did not deliver and has been dropped by Red Bull, which is not good, but I wish him all the best. Avon GP was to race this weekend at Kyalami in South Africa, but they have been put out of their misery. Their Ferrari-built cars are to be auctioned soon. Wonder if Luca is breaking any TVs over this.
It's a pretty sad state of affairs. I don't even think they were able to pay for all the cars. It was a pretty good racing series, especially for the off-season. It gave us F1 fans stuff to look at.
Idea was very good, but I remember last I recall, Nico Hülkenberg, who won the championship, Willy Weber used to hold the German franchise, he pulled out because his prize money was not paid.
Correct.
So...
Yeah. No, that's too bad. But it was a good series.
Yeah. But you know, Tony Teixeira, boss man of Avon GP, may want to take a jumbo. Actually, that's what I would advise him. Take a jumbo, cross the water, and see Mr. Anderson and Mr. Windsor for breakfast in America. Misery loves company.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
US F1 could get in on that auction, and they could have themselves a Ferrari to race.
There you go. Always an open mind.
Gotta wonder what the starting bid is on those cars.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be lock, stock, and barrel. And for breakfast in America, I have a recommendation also. IHOP would be my recommendation. They have the finest grits and pigs in a blanket. Those who have eaten there have advised me they are very good.
I understand.
Have you ever had pigs in a blanket at IHOP?
Of course. Quality.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That would be International House of Pancakes.
Exactly. Yeah, but they're not now known as IHOP.
Really?
Yeah. Or at least that's what everybody calls them in Cali. But I like their breakfast.
Yeah,
International
House of Pancakes. as good as Waffle House.
Yeah, and Flames, our favorite. World Superbikes are in Australia on Phillip Island. Australian V8s are in Bahrain. And Le NASCAR will be in Las Vegas. Finally, a place where Danica will not be the only GoDaddy girl. No shortage of GoDaddy girls there.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's where I get mine.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Online, how fast is the online delivery?
It's pretty quick.
Next day?
Yeah.
Next day, San Jose Airport?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, now we come to a moment in motor racing history. On February 27th, 1915, the American Grand Prix took place on a rainy day over San Francisco Bay. Wouldn't you love to have a Formula One race in San Francisco? Wouldn't that be so...
It was talked about about 8 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that will be something, you know. After 5 hours of racing over the 3.8-mile circuit, the winner was Dario Resta of Italy in a Peugeot. Resta was born in Faenza in 1882, and Faenza is also home to Mr. Minardi and now Toro Rosso. It's not too far from Bologna, by the way. Driving a Peugeot, Resta also won the 1916 Indy 500 and was killed in 1924 at Brooklands, a place Mr. Brazier and Moore were fortunate enough to visit last year. Really enjoyed that place, and it's not too far from Heathrow, so if somebody is there, they have a few hours to kill, I would highly, highly recommend. And now we come to your favorite segment of the Motorsport Mondial, Big E's latest squeeze. The 79-year-old god of Grand Prix motor racing has a new girlfriend, Fabiana Flossi, who, according to Sunday Express, has moved in with him at his palatial residence in Knightsbridge. Mr. Ecclestone met Miss Flossi last year at the Brazilian Grand Prix, where she was working in marketing department. Apparently, she is about 50 years younger than Mr. E. Amazing what a good song True Love can be. But you love me, Daddy. You wake me at dawn when I want to sleep on.
Nass, thank you for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial, and of course...
But you love me, Clark.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir.
Great job, Nass. Boy, it's almost too much news to absorb all at once. I might have to listen to the podcast myself a couple of times.
Please do.
Okay, now let's take a quick break before we go into the wrap-up. So we'll be back in 60 seconds.
F1Weekly.com would like to thank our sponsor, San Jose Label Inc. San Jose Label is a custom manufacturer of labels that makes a variety of products. 1-4 color process labels, alphanumeric barcoding and UPC labels, blank labels, serialized asset tags, hazardous labels, bumper stickers, pin feed, static cling, hot stamp labels, and many others. Please go to www.sanjoselabel.com for info, samples requests, and graphic design. Or you can call to telephone 408-436-8221. San Jose Label is the one-stop shop for all your labeling needs.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com, and now as we go into the wrap-up, we've got the forum updates.
Forum updates. The start of the season is 2 weeks away. Forum members are dusting off their keyboards and headsets, getting ready for text and voice chat during the races. The forum has been attentively following the tale of two teams. USF1, who seems deader and deader, and Campos, who may yet be alive at the start line in Bahrain. Last Sunday, we celebrated Ye's 12,000 posts, an astonishing number that begs the question of the state of his job, his marriage, and his overall mental sanity. His loss, our gain. Congratulations, Ye. Dear host, we need some higher ranks than team principal, perhaps a max at 10,000 and a birdie at 20. Oh, excuse me. On Tuesday, Sarcasm showed his true colors and allegiance by purchasing a Super Aguri t-shirt and cap. Tricky picked up the challenge of beating the record for most users online. At the same time, the planning is to log into the site before the race, start in Bahrain, and opening a page on viewing who's online. Once it auto-refreshes, everybody will stay logged on. Some concerns have been expressed about the stability of the server, but our ever-vigilant administrator seems confident it will hold. Other discussion topics during the past week were Toyota's troubles, is the media being
fair to the world's largest car maker? Has Sauber been dropped from the entries list? James Key from Force India to Sauber? Raikkonen will return when Weber quits? Rally America? Anyone going? Zorfius is, so fellow listeners who are going, please stop by the forum and post. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, the forum is active. And yes, let's all do that on race day. Let's all log into the forum. And that's an order. Thank you very much. Okay, now we've got an email. And we'll try to stick an email in every week's show, even though sometimes the producer says we go on too long. But this is a good email. I like this email. This is from Nobody in Particular. He says, I was wondering if John Deere were to enter F1, if it would look much like the Team Lotus entry. I am dismayed at how similar the car looks like a tractor. I hope it runs better on the track than I think it will. I admit, having moving chicanes can make for exciting racing when the drivers of the back markers feel they should defend their positions rather than just giving up and gentlemanly moving out of the way. It might help to have a lane exclusively for cars running a second or more slower. Or maybe a kiddie track for those entries on Friday so they can compete amongst themselves.
That one I like. I like the kiddie track.
Disappointments and joking aside, I love the show. I look forward to each week to Clark, Steve, and Nasser filling the listeners in on the goings-on on F1 and all other motorsports. I used to have time to watch and read other sources, but the F1 Weekly podcast gives me the essential information I need and fills the void between seasons. I miss Formula Pod and hope those guys are okay. They have been silent longer than Desiree. I hope all of you have a great season. Nobody in Particular, an anonymous fan.
Yeah, talking of Formula Pod, you know, I talk to Mr. Corey Krause, Brett also, every now and then. And hopefully we will have an interview with Corey as soon as he has some time.
And he was the founder and host of Formula Pod,
True.
Assuming correctly.
Yeah, and he's in Colorado doing well. And I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that people are concerned about him. And, you know, he will pretty soon have some exciting information regarding some motor racing activities.
Excellent. So we look forward to an interview with Corey from Formula Pod,
which is
one of the original American podcast.
Absolutely, sir.
So there you have it. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Nas, Steve, let me quickly go through the wrap-up. Calendars, we have three left. Order them now, or they're going to go to the recycling center. Because, I mean, you guys miss Valentine's Day. I'm running out of holidays here. So keep up the good work. The calendar is still an outstanding piece of work every time I look at it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, just outstanding. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. Just go to marinkarting.com. Quickly, MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter sites are up and running with the F1 Weekly updates. Every time I update the front page, it goes right to Facebook, so don't miss that. And if you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. And pretty soon, I'm working on this, you'll be able to get your Grand Prix tickets for your favorite Formula One races from the F1 Weekly website. So there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you and good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for f1weekly.com. Thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.